There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. You've seen the advertisements, you've gotten the applications, but I'm here this morning to advertise a different card. See, as a Christian, I believe my life is a product for others to see, and I am a proud, card-carrying representative of the Master's Card. That's right, the Master's Card. Let me tell you a little bit about it. There are no finance charges. Brother Jim, there are no payments due. See, Jesus stepped in and he covered my bill. It's a prepaid deal. I couldn't afford the price anyway, so Jesus paid the price for me. This Master's Card is accessible 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world. Listen to some of these benefits. Friend, you just may want to apply for the Master's Card yourself. Number one, there is unlimited grace. That's right, there is no limit to the purchasing power of the grace of God. There is grace sufficient. Have you been looking for love in all of the wrong places? Then look no farther than the Master's Card. There has never been a greater rate on love ever offered. And yes, 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 there are many members-only benefits. Do you want real joy despite the difficulties? Then apply for the Master's Card. Do you want peace right in the midst of the storm? Then apply for the Master's Card. Do you want something that you can rely on in a jam? Yes, then apply for the Master's Card. The Master's Card is perfect for everyone. Another great thing about the Master's Card is that it never expires. It can never be hacked. It can never be canceled. And once you become a member, Brother Danny, you become a member for life, eternal life, that is. Yes, membership does have its privileges. So why not apply today? It's only a prayer call away. Go into your prayer closet, dial John 3:16, then you'll be able to say with the rest of us, the Master's Card, don't leave home without it. Dial John 3:16, and the love of a lifetime will be yours. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And if you haven't already, go with me, if you would, to John 3:16. Brother Dalen, thank you for that song. What a blessing that was. Well, John 3:16, amen. Today brings us to the eighth, or the one halfway point in our series of 16 sermons from John 3:16, the love of a lifetime. If you found your place there, if you're physically able, go ahead and stand with me this morning. Let's get right to our text. John 3:16, it's on the monitor, it's in your Bible. If you're brave enough to quote it without looking, I welcome you to that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all the church said?
Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. For God so loved the world. Church, that is the proportion of God's love. A love that is past finding out. A love that is for all men, for the saint and for the sinner. It is a love that comes from God himself, and a love that was shown in a very unmistakable way, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the present of God's love. Free for mankind, but a big price tag for God. The present, the only begotten Son of God, the second member of the Trinity. God gave himself, God gave God, Jesus, he is the gift that God gave. Well, last Sunday morning, we discussed the unrivaled cost of this gift. Brother Jim, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is an investment that never loses interest. And God gave this gift not to help his friends, but to save his enemies. And he tasted that sacrifice. It cost him. Friend, don't ever say that God doesn't love you and hasn't treated you fairly. You got that all wrong. Look to the cross of Calvary, and there the era of that type of thinking will begin to dissipate. Not only the unrivaled cost of this gift, number two this morning, the unconditional charity of this gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, in the previous message, we saw how great the cost of this gift was. But I present to you this morning that there was no conditions attached to it. Now, one might suppose that such a great gift, that something, I mean something, might be attached to it. But friend, God's love is just not that way. There are no strings attached. There's no fine print. There are no hidden fees. In fact, if anything were attached to it, even in the slightest degree, then it would destroy the gift. Anything but an unconditional gift of Jesus Christ for our salvation would turn it into wages, or at the very least, turn it into something that we had to earn in some way. God's love is free of charge. It is so grand that it makes our national debt of $31 trillion seem like the widow's mite that was cast into the temple treasury by comparison. It is astronomical. God's love, unconditional. Listen, friends. God did not just send his son. No, the verse says God gave his son. Now, to send the son is an expression of great love. But to give the son, that is an expression of a far greater love. I'm telling you, man had no claim on him. Jesus was a gift. He was a gift completely undeserved, completely unconditional, completely unmerited, charitable, and free. Church, you need to let this truth settle down in your heart. And that is this. The Father sent the Son into the world as a messenger of peace. Yes, and we praise God for that. But we need to also understand that Jesus was sent into the world to not only negotiate a peace between heaven and earth, but that the Father also gave him. It says that he gave his only begotten Son. Now watch this. This messenger of peace was also the sacrifice for the world's sin. The blood of Jesus was the propitiation for our sins. Jesus, the one who held the treaty and who would make the treaty between heaven and earth. Jesus, the one who held it in his hands. Jesus, the one who knew that treaty had to be signed in the red ink of his own precious blood. Jesus, the one who had to be lifted up on that treacherous tree. And then when the crimson blood of Jesus Christ flowed down that wooden cross, the words, God is love, God is grace, God is mercy, God is compassion, God is good, those words are forever etched and they glisten forth from the treaty of the messenger of peace who went and satisfied both sides of the covenant when he offered himself as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of all mankind. He determined it to be that way. It was for that purpose that the body of the Prince of Peace was prepared and given. Understand that his enemies could have never taken him unless the Father had first already given him. John chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus said, this commandment I have received of my Father. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, Jesus said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? What am I saying? He gave his only begotten Son. Now, my friend, if you want to see the unconditional charity of this gift, then you must consider how the only begotten Son was given. When God gave Jesus, God gave Jesus. Let me show you what I mean by that. Now, we often give our children so that they may go and pursue some profession. But the Father gave Jesus up to extreme sufferings. I'm talking about the pungent pains of the crucifixion. The holy hero of heaven was given to exile among the erring men of earth. And it was all done on purpose. God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 10, speaking of God, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God loved us so much that it pleased him to give Jesus so that you and I could have the opportunity to be saved. The Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Watch this. For by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11. Jesus did that for you. Jesus did that for me. Jesus did that for us. Brother Doug, he did it for the whole world. Hebrews chapter 2, 9 says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But make no mistake, until a man appropriates that gift unto himself by exercising faith in Jesus Christ and repentance toward God, then this unconditional gift of Jesus Christ is absolutely meaningless toward his or her own eternal salvation. Friend, gifts have to be received. John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, what if you don't receive the gift? Well, then, friend, you don't have the power to become a child of God. On that cross, Jesus tasted death for every man. And when a man has truly been saved by Jesus Christ and not just giving lip service, then it brings about a changed life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not, that they which live should not, that they which live should not, they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15. One says, well, preacher, I've received this gift. I believe in Jesus, but to tell you the truth, my life really hasn't changed. I'm pretty much like I was. I'm pretty much just like everybody else. My friend, then I'm here to tell you on the authority of this book that you are not saved. Yes, Jesus died for all. That's amazing. Some people say, I believe the Bible, I believe every word, but God's book is so clear that a man that's been saved will have a change in his life, but we make the exception, don't we? Oh, I prayed, I'm good, I can live anywhere else. No, no. my friend. If there's been no change, there's been no salvation. That's God's word. I don't care what some seminary professor says. That's the word of God. I don't care what some other preacher says. If no change has occurred in your life, then you are not saved. I don't care if you've been dunked 10 times in the baptistry. I don't care if you held the preacher's hand 50 times at the invitation at the front of the church. My friend, when Jesus Christ gets into a man's heart, there is a change, and that change is readily seen. Jesus died for all. But if your claim to that gift has not revolutionarily transformed your life, then you got a counterfeit. You know, it seems like everything these days is made in China, isn't it? made in China. And those products, rightly so, are often associated with inferior quality. Someone said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then after that, everything else was made in China. if Jesus has not turned your life upside down and inside out, then my friend, you got a made in China salvation. Jesus tasted death for every man. He died for all. That means his death is what made it possible for God to show his love towards you. Did you know that? 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. Now, I've told you before that word propitiation simply means a covering satisfaction. The blood of Jesus covered our sins. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross satisfied the demands of God against the sinner. And he is the covering satisfaction. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. It was a majestic moment of charity, a manifestation of matchless mercy. God willingly gave Jesus into the hands of sinful men that he might be slain in order to redeem those very same sinful men. The innocent for the incriminated, inconceivable charity. Let's ponder this a little deeper for just a moment. I want to get a little specific here. Now, we said oftentimes that parents give up their children to go and pursue some profession. But my friend, that in no way, no shape, no form is comparable to God's giving up of Jesus Christ. But I want us to consider, in order to make a point, for the next few moments, I want us to consider the four M's that parents commonly give their children to. Are you ready? Number one, matriculation. More times than not, it is the pursuit of higher learning, i.e. education, going to college, that causes the child to go outside the home. My brother and I went to Mississippi Delta Community College to play baseball and to get a degree about 40 miles from where we grew up there in Greenville, Mississippi. But it wasn't like we really left home. I mean, just being a few miles down the road, we were still able to see mom and dad about once a month and more if we needed to do that. On top of that, it was a nice place, Brother Scott, that they were sending us to. I mean, we had 3 all-you-could-eat meals every day. And for a 19 or 20-year-old young man, you can't beat that with a stick. We had a good room. It was cinder block like this, but it was a good room. There was heating and there was air conditioning. We were there with professors and coaches who really cared for us and genuinely desired for us to succeed. My point is, we were given to an environment that was safe and that was loving. Not only matriculation, number two, marriage. I reckon what causes parents to give their children more than any other single thing would be marriage. In fact, what does the minister say at the wedding? He says to the parents of the bride, who is it that is giving her away? A little girl attending her very first wedding asked her mom, he said, Mom, why is the bride all dressed in white? And she said, oh, because white is the color of holiness and happiness, and this is the happiest day of her life. Well, the child thought about that for a few moments, and then she tugged on Mama's dress again, and she said, well, Mama, why is the groom wearing black? yes, there are difficulties, and yes, there are struggles, and yes, there are the ups and downs, but there is simply no greater thing on earth, nothing more beautiful than when the husband and the wife, when their marriage is exalting Jesus Christ as the very focal and center point of their marriage. So generally speaking, when the bride and the groom are right with God, generally speaking, parents are giving their children away in marriage to a very happy institution where they get to start their very own family. I mean, no dad in his right mind, no decent dad deliberately gives his daughter away to a dallying dirtbag who is good for nothing. Amen. Marriages are happy times. The tears that flow at weddings are tears of joy. Why? Because the bride and the groom, they're going to live the rest of their life. They're going to spend the rest of their life with somebody that loves them and somebody that wants to do everything in their power to please their mate. Matriculation, marriage. Number three, military. Many children are given to the service of their country, and with honor they enter into the armed forces to defend the United States of America. And if they're ever called into combat in the armed forces, and should that combat result in the death of that child, then those children would have died a honorable death. So even in the worst case scenario, when children are given to the military, they are being given away to a great cause. They are being given to fight for freedom. So to marriage, to matriculation, to the military, number four, to the mission field. Yes, even today in this great day of apostasy, even today in this great day of turning away from God, where people are abandoning God by the boatload, there are still children today that are being called on heaven's errand, proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard it. Even though the conditions are rugged and the environment has turned against missions in a way that it never has before, and despite the threat of terrorism, my friend, I want to tell you, the still the most commendable act that can be done on this side of glory is when a man or a woman is called of God and they surrender their life to go onto a foreign field and preach Jesus Christ to others. That's the four M's that most children are given to. Something that parents can sit back and with a sense of accomplishment say, hey, I gave my child for something that was good for them. But oh, how the father gave up his son. First of all, the eternal son was confined and wrapped in human flesh. That means all of his eternal glory was veiled. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 2 says this, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yes, he was fully God, but Jesus also became fully man. A dramatic downgrade of catastrophic proportion. From the land of Beulah to the land of Earth. From royal robes of light to the rugged robes of lowliness. Decorative diadems of diamonds. The gates of pearl and the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. They were all exchanged for the dusty streets of Galilee. Jesus went from an environment of perfect holiness with no hint of sin to a land full of sin with no hint of holiness. Yes, the Father gave his son. He sent him to a wooden manger to work with wooden materials, destined to die on a wooden machine, the cross of Calvary. My friend, he whom angels adored, did men despise. In heaven, he received kisses of reverence and affection upon his cheek. But on earth, he received the spit of men in his face and the kiss of betrayal upon his cheek. My friend, the author of all scriptures was chided and slandered by mere teachers of the scriptures. The ruler of the universe subjected himself to the rule of men. In heaven, he lay in the bosom of his Father. On earth, he had no place to lay his head. He is the heir of all things, yet he had nothing to call his own. The host of the greatest feast of time and eternity, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, yet on earth, he suffered hunger and thirst. Friend, in heaven, Jesus is magnified. King of kings on earth, he was mocked as the King of the Jews. That crown of tribute was exchanged for that crown of thorns. My friend, if you ever want to know just how fully God gave Jesus Christ, then listen to the Savior cry out from the cross of Calvary when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father unconditionally gave Jesus Christ. His flesh was given to be shredded like ribbons as it was flogged by the cat of nine tails. His back was given to the smiters. His cheeks were given to them that plucked out the hair. His body was given to buffetings and to beatings. He was given to suffer the anguish of the cruel cross of Calvary's crucifixion. So yes, yes, we may give our children to matriculation, and we may give our children to marriage and to the military and to the mission field. But my friend, I want to tell you, the Father gave Jesus to be murdered, to die the death of a felon, of a condemned slave. Those whom Jesus sought to bless butchered him. Those he sought to clothe in his righteousness stripped him naked. Jesus was put to death for an abominable wretch like me. Amen. My friend, that's charity. And it was all done as an unconditional gift so that we might be reconciled to God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Bible says, Jesus Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And then that crown jewel of the Romans road, Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 and chapter 8 and verse number 32. Yes, Jesus died for the vilest sinner. My friend, never ever lose the sight of Jesus' death for our sins too. He died for our lying. He died for our deceit. He died for our cheating, our wicked imaginations, the pornography, the gluttony, the selfishness. Jesus died for the greed of men, for the jealousy of men, for the covetousness of men. Yes, Jesus died for our sin. God is love, and that love is seen in his unconditional gift. A preacher said this, I loved it, I want to share it with you. He said, divine love in the incarnation appears like a brilliant star, like that star the wise man saw in the east. But in the crucifixion, with all its indignities and agonies, it appears like the sun all ablaze, filling the universe with matchless radiance. On Calvary, God's love is on fire. The flames envelop the world, even the throne of glory, so that in view of this, how natural is the exclamation of the evangelist, God is love. When we gaze upon it in sacrifice, we are completely dazzled so that we can see nothing but love, divine love, infinite. The love of a lifetime. Now, what's the message today? The message God gave Jesus. He gave him up. And continuing with the inquiries of last week's invitation, my friend, let me ask you, what are you willing to give up for God? Now, giving up sinful things should be understood. That should be easy peasy, right? Cigarettes and drinking alcohol, sexual sins and a filthy mouth. But would you be willing to give up something good for God? After all, when God gave Jesus, He gave up something good for us. The psalmist said, "For the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." My friend, would you be willing to give up one meal per month eating out so that you could then save that $25 and give that $25 to missions so that our missionaries on that backboard back there could take that $25, use it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard it on the foreign field? Would you be willing to give up 2 hours, one Saturday morning per month, to come out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ on the neighborhood blitz with your brothers and sisters here at Central Baptist Church? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to give up 30 minutes of sleep in the morning so that you can spend 15 minutes before you get up and get going and let God speak to you from His Word, and then spend 15 minutes kneeled in prayer speaking to God through prayer? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to give up 20 minutes of news watching and web surfing so that you can lead your wife, your kids, your family, whatever the dynamics are, so that you can lead them in daily devotions from the Word of God? Would you be willing to give up 25 minutes on social media so that you can socially share Jesus Christ with somebody else face to face? Friend, would you be willing to give up something good for God? Would you? The simple thing should be easy. Would you be willing to give up something good for God? Listen, our churches need more from its people, and that includes Central Baptist Church. There's never been a greater need of the church than today, yet there's never been a more decommitted group of church-going people in human history. Self-absorbed. Remember our text in 2 Corinthians 5:15? And that He died for all, that they which live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him that died for them and rose again. You know, most churches have adopted to the times. They have, Brother Doug. Most churches have gone to just one service per week. Can I tell you, that's pathetic. That is pathetic. And as long as God allows me to pastor here at Central Baptist Church, I can promise you that ain't going to happen here. God gives us 168 hours every single week, and all we can say is we can set aside 1 hour for public worship. Is that the state of churches in the United States of America today? Indeed it is. The old way, the right way, when churches were impactful, when God's people were salty and influential, and when this country was impregnable, the right way and the old way was a midweek service, a Sunday school hour, a Sunday morning service, and a Sunday night service. And you know what? Each of those services were packed out. How about it, church? You willing to give up something good for God in order that you may draw closer to Him, to make Christ known, and to commit yourself more to the things of God than you presently are? Would you be willing for that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Lord, would You search our hearts this morning?